Welcome to the Daily Dharma, a podcast where we draw inspiration from Buddhist philosophy on how to fix and better our lives. Join us as we dig through the archives of Buddhist texts, great teachers, and real life to grab an extra hit of wisdom to lift us up from the daily grind and find much needed peace.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Dharma. In this episode, we're going to be going over the transformative power of humility and how, whether it's ourselves or to those who are in need of guidance, humility has this incredible power to reveal the truth that all of us, no matter how powerful or important we feel, are one day going to be old, we're going to be sick, and we are going to die. But as a result, it allows us to focus on what really matters. We're going to be going through this theme using two Zen Buddhist stories from the book 101 Zen Buddhist Stories by Nyogen Senzaki. The first story is called True Reformation. Ryokan was a Zen master who devoted his life to the study of Zen. One day, he heard that his nephew, a smart but young person, despite the admonitions of relatives, was spending all of his family's money on a courtesan. Inasmuch as the nephew had taken the Zen master Ryokan's place in managing the family estate, and the property was in danger of being dissipated, his relatives asked Ryokan to do something about it. As a result, Ryokan traveled a long way to visit his nephew, who he hadn't seen for many years. The nephew seemed very pleased to see his uncle again and invited him quite kindly to remain overnight. All night, instead of talking to his nephew and perhaps giving him a scolding, the Zen master Ryokan sat in meditation. And as he was departing in the morning, he said to the young man, "I must be getting old. My hand shakes so. Will you help me tie the string of my straw sandal?" His nephew helped him willingly. "Thank you," finished Ryokan. "You see, a person becomes older and feebler day by day. Take good care of yourself." Then Ryokan left, never mentioning a word about the courtesan or the complaints of his relatives. But from that morning on, the dissipations of the nephew ended. What is so interesting about this story is that, conventionally speaking, when someone is having a problem, the wisdom is to tackle it head on. But instead of doing exactly as relatives had told him to do, the Zen master Ryokan clearly took some time to observe his nephew, observe the situation, and really think of what would be the best approach to really share his wisdom with this young man. And sometimes it is this kind of unconventional thinking that leads us down the path of showing humility. The definition of humility is essentially a modest or low view of one's importance or humbleness. But in a spiritual sense, when you look at this story, humility is so much more than that. Humility is essentially this understanding that we are not all powerful, that there are things beyond our control, and that as a result, we have to be more careful with the things that are under our control. And showing his nephew, without any kind of pride or ego or any kind of unnecessary emotion to cloud his reality, he was able to show, look, I'm getting old. Every day is not guaranteed. I need your help even to tie the sandal of my shoe. Despite being a great Zen master who so many respect, and being humble to his nephew, asking for his help and letting his nephew help him, he shared with his nephew a great lesson in life, that we're not always going to be young. We're not always going to be full of life, full of energy. One day we will have to slow down, not because we want to, but because our bodies, our minds, the environment around us makes us. And sharing this reality with him without any kind of story or anger or hatred, he was able to very lovingly and kindly share to this nephew that one day he'll be the same. And as a result, he should take care of himself so that when the time comes when he's old, he's not going to be alone. He's not going to be out on the streets, and nor would his family be. And choosing humility over ego, over hatred, over anger, the Zen master was able to share this beautiful nugget of wisdom that I'm sure his nephew took to heart for the rest of his life. The second story that explores this theme is called Temper. A Zen student came to Bankai and complained, "Master, I have an ungovernable temper. How can I cure it?" "You have something very strange," replied the Zen master Bankai. "Now, let me see what you have." "I can't show it to you right now," replied the pupil. "When can you show it to me then?" replied Bankai. "It arises unexpectedly," he said. "Then," concluded Bankai, "it must not be your true nature. If it were, you could show it to me any time. When you were born, you did not have it, and your parents didn't give it to you. Think that over." In this story, we see someone with a problem come to a Zen master. But again, instead of just talking to this person as if they are their problem, the Zen master very cleverly identifies that the problem is not all that is to them. He very cleverly showcases to the student that just because you have a difficult temper doesn't mean that's your whole personality. Doesn't mean that your whole personality has to become this temper. And in doing so, instead of getting angry, instead of asking this person or questioning this person why they have this temper, he is able to show this pupil the way forward, which is to explore beyond the temper, really question who you are. Who you are beyond this one aspect of yourself. I think the hope that Bankai had in this moment with this Zen pupil is that in seeing that he is so much more than his temper, he's able to explore what he is as a whole. And then in the process, uncover what is hurting him, what is making him so angry, what is essentially the key to that temper so that he can slowly unlock it, unravel it, and let it go. In both of these stories, the role of humility from the teacher, instead of belittling the student, making them feel small, making them feel like they did something wrong, is incredibly powerful. And I think this applies not just to the people that are close to us, but also to ourselves. We also forget why we have to be humble to ourselves. And being humble, being honest with ourselves about our vulnerable, afraid, tired, old, sick we can be, or we currently are, we see the truth of reality, that this mind, this body, this life we've built, it doesn't always hold. But that's not because we are doing anything wrong. That's just the nature of life. And in seeing those cracks, those vulnerabilities, we're able to let go of this urge, this addiction to micromanaging and carrying unnecessary burdens in order to control aspects of our life, control aspects of other people's lives. Nothing in life is guaranteed, especially when we're able to see how vulnerable we are, when we humble ourselves. But doing so gives us the freedom to focus on what we do control, which is what we choose to do every day with our minds, with our hands, with our bodies, with our thoughts, and focusing our energy on what we can do and allowing ourselves to be humble about what we cannot do, we're putting power where power really exists. And doing so makes a big difference in how we live our lives and the sense of happiness and joy we have in our hearts. Whether it's yourself or someone close to you that may be struggling with something, perhaps humility is the way to go, to just get closer to your truth and let go of the pain of the problem that's ailing you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you have a beautiful, safe, and joyful week ahead of you. Until next week.